Hello there, and welcome to The Bitch Fix, a podcast for women who want to jam out on their lives, live in harmony with their hormones, and reclaim their mood, energy, and mojo. I'm Christine McCarroll, functional nutritionist and women's health straight talker, and I'm here to tell it like it is on all things health, happiness, and hormones for women. So shake off that cape, Superwoman, because we're here to launch this thing.
Well, hey, girl, and welcome to episode 146 of The Bitch Fix. Okay, so this week, you guys, I wanted to come back to that conversation that we had a little while back about weight. That was actually a three-part conversation. And if you were interested, I will link back in the show notes to that conversation. But that was three parts of me weighing in on weight and all of the many of the crazy issues that I think are coming up on several sides of this conversation. But what I wanted to do today is actually go into three numbers that I think are actually much more important to be measuring than weight. And I actually want to say a couple of things about that. So the first thing is, of course, there are actually many that are more important than weight. So in particular for me, I, as a functional nutritionist, I want to measure, not guess, right? I want to test, not guess, if I want to see what's happening physiologically in someone's body. So I think there's actually lots of things that are more important to measure than weight. But the things that I want to focus on today are things that have to do with body composition. So there are things we can, I actually would propose, should be measuring related to body composition that are important because they are important for our overall health, right? So this is stuff that matters way more than what the number on the scale says. So, this whole conversation is just going to be separate from the weight conversation. And I'm just going to say these are things that are much more important to measure. And it's because they have specific related health outcomes. And also, these are things that are actually quite easy to track at home. So this doesn't require a trip to your doctor's office or even to a lab for blood work. This is all stuff that you can just be tracking yourself at home and would have a profound impact on your health. And this is going to be kind of just couched in that old saying, what gets measured gets managed, right? So when we measure something, that's a business saying, and I don't love using business and health. but essentially the idea is that when we're looking at something, so, you know, this is just looking at it, which is another reason, I always say get on the scale in related to that weight conversation, but just like we should know our numbers, right? It's putting your head in the sand to pretend that numbers don't exist. So they're going to exist whether you like them or not. And if we need to worry about or work on your thoughts about those numbers, that's an important issue and also an entirely separate issue. So your thoughts about the numbers are separate. The numbers themselves are just numbers, right? And so it's important to know your numbers, and that includes blood work. It may include weight for some people. And certainly these numbers that I'm going to suggest today have a significant impact on your health. And these are numbers that are important for you, especially as a woman, and particularly as you are a woman who might be heading into your middle years. This is stuff that you are absolutely going to want to measure. Okay, so the first item on your list is going to be your waist circumference. So basically, waist circumference is just how big your waist is. So to measure this, you can just get any tape measure, and you're going to want to measure the smallest part of your waist. So if you were just standing in front of a mirror, you could also have somebody help you with this. But if you were just standing in front of a mirror and you look at your body and you see there's a natural curve in, the smallest part of your waist is not going to be by your belly button. It's usually going to be a little bit higher up. Now, everybody is different, might be by your belly button, but for most people, it's a little bit higher. So you're going to want to measure that. Now, that number is you are going to want to be lower than 35, right? So 35, not optimal. We are actually wanting to go below 35. And this is an independent risk factor. This is different, again, from weight. Now, whether or not you have excess weight on your body, it doesn't matter. So somebody could be of normal weight and even a normal BMI, but if her waist, so this is specific for women, if her waist circumference is 35 or greater, she's going to be at much greater risk of other kinds of health issues later. Now, for women in particular, a big reason for this is because even if you are a normal weight, if your waist circumference is higher, typically that may indicate that, first of all, you may have an overall higher weight and or you may have a higher midsection weight relative to like hips and butt. Now, for women, typically we are more pear-shaped, which means that we tend to have a higher body mass in our hips and butt and thighs, which for sure is a whole other separate cosmetic issue. But we tend not to gain as much weight around the middle. Now, first of all, if you are gaining weight in the middle earlier in life, that's already going to be an increased risk factor. But then also as we get to our middle years, as we get to menopause, some women start to start having more of their weight going towards that central trunk part of your body. And then that's going to be, it's part and parcel of this midlife kind of switch, which I will talk about in a second, which definitely is going to be a risk factor for you, right? So we want actually more of our weight to be distributed lower on our body. We want it to be more hips, butt, and thighs, even though, of course, that's cosmetically, some women may not enjoy that, but that is more healthy. Whereas when we are having that central adiposity is what it's called, but basically when you're gaining weight in the middle, we have a lot higher risk factors for things like elevated blood pressure, metabolic syndrome, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, where we start to have excess fat in the liver, and actually all of the organs, we have more visceral fat around our organs. So we just have more adipose tissue, which is just fat tissue around our internal organs, which is incredibly inflammatory. So we don't want that weight to be distributed in the middle. Now, this has actually been really well documented. There are multiple studies, lots of research on this. This is not just like one single study. This is, again, like kind of across the board. One of the biggest ones was something called the Nurses' Health Study, which a lot of people refer back to, especially for women's health, for lots of different things. But again, one of the things that was reported in there, they measured these women, that they were nurses, they were theoretically healthy. I mean, I guess maybe that could be up for debate, but they were theoretically healthy, they didn't have any heart disease, cancer, anything else going on. And at the start of the study, there were 44,000 women. They were all healthy. 16 years later, women who had that waist size of 35 inches or higher had nearly double the risk of dying from heart disease. Double, you guys. Now, again, this is really important because as women, unfortunately, our risk for heart disease does increase as we age and pass menopause because there is a protective impact of estrogen on our hearts. So as we get older, we have less estrogen, we have less protective support from estrogen on our hearts and also actually on our brains. And so when we are losing that protection, and then we are also having the central adiposity, this higher weight in the middle, we get higher risk for things like heart disease. The other thing that I found really noteworthy in there was the larger waist sizes, or the women who had the largest waist sizes also had the highest risk of dying of cancer and actually any cause. So it's called all-cause morbidity, and it was the highest in women with the highest weight size. So again, this applies even to someone who is of normal weight, which to me is, it just means that, you know, first of all, again, there's more important things to measure than weight. Weight doesn't always reflect what is going on with your underlying health. And it's really important to know these other numbers. So that is all related to waist in particular. Now, there is a relatively newer marker. It's not newer in that it's, you know, fancier or better technology or anything, but we've done some more research in more recent years on the waist to height ratio. Right? So the waist to height ratio, a lot of people feel like is actually even a better marker than a waist measurement because this is actually making sure that we are taking into account people who are really tall or even people who are really short, right? So that 30, so let me just tell you what the number is first. So what we want with the waist to height ratio is we want less than 0.5, right? So basically you want your waist to be less than half of what your height is, right? So for example, for me, I am 5'8", If I was going to put that into inches, that would be 68 inches. That means I want my waist size to be less than 34, right? So if we divide 68, which is my height in inches, if we divided that in half, that would be 34. But for health, we actually want it less than that. So 34, no bueno, that is not good. We do not want that. I want mine to be less than 34 for optimal health, right? So again, this is not cosmetic. This is about body composition and your relation and relationship to your health. So this takes into account that some women, you know, taller, shorter women are going to actually have a different number. And that 35 that we had as that line in the sand actually may not even apply, right? So, or it may apply less. So again, even talking about for me, 35 would be too high for me, right? So less than 35 is actually too high for me. I would have to be 5'10 for that actually to be a good ratio for me. Likewise, someone who is more petite, right? So like I have women in my family who are more like 5'4. Those women would want to then have a lower waist to height ratio. And that does mean it would be a smaller waist size, but typically you have a smaller overall body size when you are shorter. So that waist to height ratio, if we're looking at measurements, there are online calculators for this, by the way, you guys, so you could just like Google it. There are all kinds of calculators. You can bring out your pen and pencil or your calculator on your phone. You could have this done at a doctor's office. But again, I think let's just go with the simplest, lowest hanging fruit. Like it's super easy to get this. Same thing. Look in the mirror, find your smallest point for your waist size. You can take that tape measure, do a circumference there. Most of us know how tall we are. And that is a pretty simple math equation. Or again, you could put it into some sort of online calculator. Now, if we want to get a little bit more specific with those ratios, once we hit that line in the sand of 0.5, if we get between 0.5 and 0.59, you are going to be at an increased risk of health issues. So anything that is like 0.4 to 0.49, again, this is just a little bit more math, but 0.4 to 0.49, there is no increase to any health risks. Once we cross that magic line in the sand, if you get to 0.5 and you go from 0.5 to 0.59, increased risk of health problems. And if you get all the way to 0.6 or more, that is the highest risk of health problems, right? So there is a little bit of an increase. So I'm not even gonna call it a gray zone because it's a legit increased risk, but 0.5 to 0.59, increased 0.6 is the highest risk of health problems. Now, again, the reason for this is because that higher waist to height ratio is going to mean that you're carrying your weight more around the center, and fat that's surrounding those abdominal organs, particularly the liver, but really any of our internal organs, is called visceral fat, and it's really active metabolically, right? So when I'm talking about metabolism and metabolically active, I'm not talking about like, great, I have a fast metabolism. I can eat whatever I want. I mean, it's like doing stuff, right? It is sending out signals. It is telling other parts of your body, other tissues, other organs. It's giving information and it's bad information, right? So it's kind of like the little devil sitting on your shoulder and it's giving out crap information. So it's releasing inflammatory agents. It's releasing hormones. So we used to think that fat was kind of just like sat there. It was like neutral, didn't do anything. Now we know it releases hormones. As we get older, it can be releasing kind of toxic crap estrogen. It can also be releasing other hormones that ultimately can give us these higher risk factors for things like heart disease, right? So higher LDL, which is considered the quote unquote bad cholesterol. The topic of cholesterol is a whole other conversation. I did do a whole podcast on that one, but LDL being theoretically our bad cholesterol, triglycerides, which I don't want to see high, that is part of a lipid panel, blood sugar, blood pressure, fatty acids, all of this is getting released metabolically from that fat tissue. So again, we're thinking that it's just sitting there and it's inert, but it's not. It is creating havoc. It's kind of, you know, like a little toddler running around with scissors. It is creating problems. So we do not want that sitting around our waist. And that waist to height ratio is giving a much more refined look than just the single waist circumference in and of itself. So again, this is an independent factor from weight, and this could be true for you even if you were a normal weight and or a normal BMI. All right. So the last number, so number three on my list of the three numbers or measurements that I think are more important than your weight is your lean body mass. Now, I am just going to keep beating this drum, you guys. I've been talking about it. I'm going to keep talking about it because this is one of the most significant factors for women. Now, what happens for women as we get older, it is just kind of shit. And I want to just say it's unfair, but then I feel like I need to be complaining to someone. I'm not really sure what complaint box to put this complaint into, but it's just like a rallying, like it's not fair. But women start to massively decrease our muscle mass as we get older, and it just starts getting faster and faster. So you guys, I am talking post 35. So that is a lot of you listening. It is not just, you know, like after you get past 40 or 50 or something, it starts happening early. We start decreasing our muscle mass if we are not actively trying to keep it. So when we are talking about lean body mass, we're also actually talking about bone. So lean body mass is essentially anything that isn't your fat tissue, right? So I was just talking about fat. We were talking about adipose tissue. We especially don't want that around our internal organs, around the middle of the body. But the counterpoint to that is healthy muscle and bone, right? So especially for women, lots of us have heard of osteoporosis or osteopenia, where we start to lose that bone density. The muscle is going to impact both your metabolic rate and actually that bone health, right? So I would be, this is honestly like, I would be keeping my eye on this. So I am, I am 44. I am keeping my eye on this so freaking close, you guys, right? So as we get into menopause, women kind of, we get this like unfortunate, this unfortunate trade-off where we get this lower basal metabolic rate. We also get less lean muscle tissue, and then that increases the risk of weight gain and obesity. Now, this is another reason why it's massively important to not just be looking at the scale, because your weight could be staying the same. Your weight might not change, but if you are losing muscle mass and you're losing bone mass, that means that what we have instead is a higher fat mass, right? And so again, talking about fat not really being this inert thing, it is metabolically active, it is causing problems. We start to get this real imbalance, and we're getting this inflammation and these hormonal changes and oxidative stress that's all related to this increase of fat versus the decrease of our muscle tissue. And again, tons of research on this. Like this is not just cosmetic. It's really important for our health. What happens is as we are entering kind of these perimenopause years, which again for women could even be, you know, several years, 5 years, even to 10 years before we hit that line in the sand of menopause. What happens is we start to have changes that increase the severity of menopausal symptoms. Right. So, thinking about things like hot flashes, oxidative stress, just the discomfort that can come with menopause and that we have a pretty known association with, those symptoms are worse in women who are having this lower lean body mass. So there is a highly protective mechanism of maintaining lean body mass. Now, some of the most recent research for those of you who are really getting close to menopause is the fastest shift in this fat to lean body mass ratio happens right around that year before the final period. So like rounding that final period. So what happens is we have a final period. After we haven't had a period for 1 year, we have crossed that threshold. We are officially in menopause. That year right there before the last period and up to like 6 months afterwards, this is what's been measured recently. If we maintain our lean body mass by exercise and movement, and I'm actually just going to say movement, in the literature, it wasn't specific to any sort of type of exercise, but you keep your body moving and you stay active and you retain some of that lean body mass. We also retain the benefits metabolically of that lean body mass, right? So higher metabolic rate, your metabolism is directly related to your muscle mass. We are also getting the muscle activating your bone synthesis, right? So This is something I don't think gets talked about often enough. The way that we get that bone staying strong is by the pull of the muscle, right? So as the muscle is being strong and being activated, it's actually putting a little bit of tension on our bones. That tension on the bones, that pull, is actually what is telling your bones to keep regenerating. So to keep those bone cells going, to regenerate, to stay strong, and not to be losing mass and becoming more brittle and weaker as we get older. So that muscle mass is helping us with for sure the cosmetic things that we might be thinking about with things like our body composition, but it's also helping us with bone mass, so we are not at risk or as high of a risk for things like falls and fractures. It's helping with balance, and then it's also helping us to maintain our metabolic rate and have a decrease in those risk factors of things like heart disease and diabetes and metabolic syndrome, and even dementia as we get older, right? So there is a strong correlation. I have an ever increasing interest in my brain health. And as we are having that, again, that lowered lean body mass, as we have an increase in fat tissue, we also see an increase in risk for brain issues like dementia. And again, like, I, for one, am just a hell no to anything happening to my brain. So a sedentary lifestyle, meaning that we're not really activating those muscles, is going to make it worse. So as we are sedentary, we're not moving, we're not maintaining our lean body mass, it's going to make all of those changes happen faster. And we are getting all kinds of inflammation that comes with it. And again, all of those downstream metabolic effects, the things that make those hormones symptoms worse, they make the symptoms of perimenopause and menopause worse, worsening our metabolic rate, worsening brain function. Just overall, like, not a pretty picture, you guys. Nobody wants to sign up for this. Now, how do we measure lean body mass? Now, it's not as easy as taking out your tape measure and measuring your waist circumference and either just looking at that or looking at your waist to height ratio. But it is relatively easier to do it. Now, there are a couple of ways. The easiest, like, lowest hanging fruit is you can get some scales. And honestly, you guys, you can find these on Amazon for less than $50. I don't even remember how much the one that I have is. I'm not going to promote it because it's perfectly fine, but, like, you know, I don't have any vested interest in it. But you want to look for a scale that is going to, they're called bioimpedance scales, and they can give you a rough estimate. Now, this is not as good as if you were in a doctor's office or other ways of measuring, but it's going to give you a relative measurement of your muscle mass, but also your relative, you know, lean body tissue. So it can give you kind of your bone, your more of your visceral fat, your overall fat, and then that lean body mass. So you can get a scale that's going to tell you this. Again, somewhat of a rough estimate. The one I have is called a Renfo. I'll just tell you because I know people ask me. It's called a Renfo, R-E-N-P-H-O. Again, I have no ties to them, no allegiance. It does seem to work relatively well for me. That is one you can just get at home. And I would always start with, like, okay, what's easiest? We can get that pretty cheap at home. Then next up, you can go to, there are certain kinds of scale. There's one that's called an in-body scale. Again, no relationship to these guys, but an in-body scale is often offered in a lot of places like gyms, fitness centers, some, you know, professional fitness offices. Those are places you might be able to find that. You usually have to pay for it unless you're, like, a part of the gym or something. And then the more sophisticated measures are things like a DEXA scan. So a DEXA scan will look at your overall picture. It's a much more comprehensive. It's considered really, like, the gold standard. It takes some time. I've had this done. You have to lay pretty still on a table for a little while. There's, like, an arm of this machine that kind of sweeps over you. It takes some time, but then it's going to give you a really, really clear picture of exactly what you're looking at for, in particular your bone mass, but it will also give you that bigger picture of your muscle mass. So bone, overall lean body mass, bone, muscle mass, and fat tissue, and then also how that's distributed in your body. So again, we're really looking to avoid, as women, having more of the fat deposited around our midsection. And this will tell you, like, you get this pretty picture, or not so pretty, but this picture telling you exactly how that is distributed. And then you can be using that to make decisions about your health. So that's kind of, like, the highest level. They are done in doctor's offices. I didn't have a doctor's office. I didn't have a prescription. I just looked online. I found a DEXA location that was near me and was able to go in and get that. So that's how you would get those, that more sophisticated number. All right, you guys. So that's it. Those are three measurements that are more important than your weight, more important than the number on the scale, body composition related numbers that you are going to want to be tracking as a woman, and especially as a, if you are a woman who's starting to head really even over 35, you want to be starting to keep track of these numbers because this is going to massively impact your health for the rest of your life. So I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your week and weekend, and I will see you next time.
Hey, if you've been on the hormonal roller coaster and want to know how to put the theories and strategies shared on this podcast to work for your body, I want to invite you to join me in my program, The Bitch Fix in Six, 6 Steps to Happy Hormones. I'll help you heal your hormones naturally so you can get your mood, energy, and mojo back and live the badass life you were designed for. This is the work I've done with hundreds of women, and it can work for you too. To learn more, go to thebitchfixin6.com. I can't wait to meet you inside.